Amen. Father God, I just praise you and glorify you for what you're doing in us. And we thank you, Father, for an awesome meeting tonight. We thank you, Father, because you're going to lead us. We thank you, your Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us into whatever it is that you'd have us to speak about tonight, everybody talk about. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to be an awesome time. And I thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And because we have an open heaven, we can pray and believe that our prayers are answered because we confess the good confessions of faith, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we be with us, guide us, lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for placing it in everybody's heart to believe that when somebody prays, it's going to happen. And I thank you for that open heaven that you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got anything I need to pray about? Yeah, Teresa, go ahead. You got to hit your mute button over there on your microphone. Just tap the microphone. You see it in the lower left-hand corner.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay,
Okay,
gotcha.
yes. Terry just called and I just texted him your number and he's gonna text you right now. Okay,
Okay.
so I would like to pray for him again because he's not in treatment. He never went, and when you prayed for him in that cell, God touched him and it left him, and he's been sober. It's been a month later, he's still sober,
Praise
and there
God.
has been no treatment. And so, his dad says he's doing really good. And so, but he is heavily bombarded by, the court system pursuing him, like, for Dina's falsified PFA and her trying to get child support payments from him based on all that. There's been no divorce. He has no job. They're trying to get money out of him, and and he has no job, while he was working, he was paying for a very expensive lifestyle, but when he got attacked like that and got, such severe stuff perpetrated against him, it just hurt him so bad that he just couldn't deal with it. And so, but now they're after him for child support payments and all this other stuff. There's no divorce. He doesn't have a lawyer. He doesn't have any money. She took all the money.
Unknown caller.
And so, I want prayer. Okay. Terry? Okay, so I'm asking for prayer for you right now. So what I feel is pertinent are these scriptures, such as in Colossians 2, where it says that Jesus himself took the handwriting of the ordinances that was against Terry and nailed it to his cross and freed and cleared Terry from that, blotting out. Okay, so Heavenly Father, I thank you that not only Terry, but also all our family, we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You have circumcised us with the circumcision made without hands. You have put off the body of the sins of our flesh by your circumcision, Christ. Jesus Christ, you have buried us with you in baptism, wherein also you have risen us with you through the faith of your operation, God, who has raised Jesus from the dead and at the same time raised us from the dead. And we, being dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, have you quickened together with you, having forgiven us all trespasses. And you have blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And God, I'm including all those court ordinances, the falsified stuff at court, and just everything that's not your will. which was contrary to us, and you took it out of the way, nailing it to your cross. It's nailed to your cross and taken out of the way. You have spoiled principalities and powers. You made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, your blood atonement that you have covered us with, Lord, on your cross in our behalf. In Jesus' name, in your mighty name, Jesus Christ. So,
amen. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Terry right now, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's guiding him and leading him and making an overcomer out of it. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Judah.
Well, I'd like to add on to that prayer. Well, Father, I thank you for Teresa's prayer, that you did fulfill everything for us, Lord, and you fulfilled the law, and we're not under the law. And we have an accuser, the accuser of the brethren, who is constantly accusing us day and night. And we come to the highest court that there is above all courts. And we ask for your mercy and grace, Father, on Terry and his life and the things that are happening right now. And we ask that you would do a quick and mighty work on Terry's wife, and that she would repent, Lord, that you soften her heart, that she would understand the circumstances that has already taken place, Father, and that she's already taken everything. So, Lord, we just ask for your grace and mercy on behalf of Terry, Lord, and that you will fight this battle for him.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, you're our advocate. You're our lawyer. And we can't do any better than that. You see the whole situation, Lord. You know the hearts of all men, and you know what's going on. So we pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace within the courts, that you will turn their hearts, like you bend the heart, like you bend the rivers, Lord. You can turn a man's heart as well. So we're asking you for your favor on Terry regarding this whole situation, and we
thank
bind
you,
up these spirits
thank
that are operating
you,
in her in. Such as the greed and the control and the manipulation and the spirit of coveting and just the harassment that's going on there with her threats and all other things that's happening there, Lord. We bind these demons that are operating through her in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. You will not persist in this in the name of Jesus. And we lose the angels to go and do these things, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we already have these things answered for us by the stripes of Jesus, by his sacrifice, by his atoning blood, and all that that includes for us, Lord, for Terry, his family, and everything you're putting in Teresa's heart to pray for him right now, Lord, that she can come boldly before the throne, give it to you, and put her in the rest, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for doing such a great and mighty work and setting him free from these addictions and the power of Satan. We thank you, Lord, that you began this good work and you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ, and that Terry's going to get godly counsel, and that he's even seeking you, Lord. He's seeking your face even right now for answers and for help and for your grace and mercy, Father. Thank you, Lord, for working in his life according to your will and good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Gina.
Teresa, I think Michael muted you because you were talking and they couldn't hear me. So you're muted. You were saying something, but we couldn't hear you.
He froze up. Teresa, can you hear us? Oh, well. Devil, I told you to keep your hands off of us, and I meant it. In the name of Jesus, get your hands off of her communication and let her talk. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. She went out.
She just turned her camera off. She's still here.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see. All right. Anyone else got a prayer they need to pray? Go ahead, Benjamin.
I just want to bring up my brother-in-law and my sister again. I was supposed to be picking up a bookcase for my sister today, but Zach offered to help pick up her bookcase. So this is giving them an opportunity to talk face-to-face, finally after the few days of separation that they had. So I just want to give all of it to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity that they can see face to face finally. I know my sister loves Zach, and I know Zach loves Megan. Deep down in their hearts, they want to be together. They gotta get over themselves. Some people need to let go of things that they're still holding on to, and a lot of people need to learn mercy and forgiveness. So Father, I pray love, the total love that you gave us, Father. Let them experience it as well. The total agape love, Father, of obedience to you and obedience and love to each other. And let that tender affection and that agape love flow through them again and remind them of how they first met and remind them of the good things. Just thank you, Father, for always watching over my family. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you do through my family. And this will be an avenue or a door. I don't know how, but thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? If no one else has anything, I got a daily thing here I want to read to you. It's called Prayer is the Key by E.W. Kenyon. I got to get it up here close to me. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. James 4:3. Man has been sent into the world on no other errand but by prayer to rise out of the vanity of time into the riches of eternity. For poor and miserable as this life is, we all have free access to all that is great and good and happy, and carry within ourselves a key to all the pleasures of heaven. God is not an absent or distant God, but in more persons in and to our souls than our own bodies. We are only far from God if we're void of the spirit of prayer that opens heaven and the kingdom of God within us. A root set in the finest soil is not as sure of its growth to perfection as the man whose spirit longs for God. We are all of us by birth the offspring of God, more closely related to him than we are to one another. For in him we live and move and have our being, as it tells us in Acts 17:28. The first man had the breath and spirit of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit breathed into him, and so became a living soul. He was the image and likeness of God, not with regard to his outward shape or form, but because the Holy Trinity had breathed their own nature and spirit into him. And as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always in heaven and make heaven to be everywhere, so this spirit breathed by them into man brought heaven into man along with it. And so man was in heaven as well as on earth. It is also our paradise, a heavenly state, or birth of a new life on earth. Then as willing as the sun is to shine its light and warmth on the earth, the living God is waiting to work in the heart of his child. That is, if we do not prevent him by our unbelief or our surrender to the spirit of the world. The biggest problem that most Christians have is believing that when they pray, that their prayers will be answered. That's the biggest problem that people have. But when we understand that God himself is wanting us to pray, he's wanting us to praise him and thank him after we pray, in order to believe, for us to confess the good confession out of our mouth, that's the faith he's looking for right there. And when we do that, that's when he answers our prayers. We are as close to him as we want to be. All right. Anybody else? I've always liked the way E.W. Kenyon writes. He was a good writer. Had a pretty good knowledge of the Word of God, too. All right, anybody else?
Michael, what years was he writing?
Yeah, probably about then. I don't know. Let me look. Let me look here. It tells me. I'll tell you this much. He knew Lake. And he knew Smith Wigglesworth. So he was during that period of time, you know. He was early 1900s. He lived until 41 or 42, somewhere along there. I believe that's right. All right. He was born in 1828. So I'm wrong. So it was actually the 1800s and early 1900s. Anybody else? All right, what's on your mind tonight, y'all? I'm in Arkansas, so I haven't had a whole lot of... I've been pretty busy. And I know that's not an excuse, but it's an excuse that I got. I was going to read something here. Let's see here. Oh. How many of you got a copy of that confession of the word that I sent out? There's one. Okay. What do y'all utilize? Let me ask another question. An active question. How many of you use it daily? That's what I thought. Well, as you know, I'll be honest with you, I have skipped days myself when I get busy. But I always try to do it first thing in the morning after I pray, as I start confessing the word. And I like what some of these guys said in this booklet. I'm going to get you some of the good parts of it. He says, I confess that I have a redemption that God planned and wrought in Christ. I am a new creation of which he himself is the author and finisher. I have a righteousness that permits me to stand in his presence as though sin had never been. And I not only have righteousness reckoned to me, but I also have righteousness imparted to me in the new nature that I have received from him. I have received his nature, his life, and in this life and nature is the life of God. And this makes me righteous, even as he is righteous. And this is my confession. This gives me boldness in prayer. This builds my faith. This makes my way sure. I am no longer hemmed in by limitations because I am united with the limitless one. How many of you are united with the limitless one? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And he is the vine and I am the branch. How many of you understand the vine and the branch relationship? The vine and the branch. Everything that flows through you comes from the Lord, right? Just understand it. Everything that that Jesus had, we have available to us because we are a branch of the vine. And everything that's in the vine is in the branch. Are available to the branch. Whether we tap into that or not is, you know, that's what the question is. And as a branch, I bear his fruit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. What is bearing the fruit from the branch here? Looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. And as a branch, I bear his fruit because the vine is imparting to me the fullness of his life. And I know the reality of this because it has become a part of my very being. And that's, you know, we talked about imagination. I think Andrew brought it up the other day about imagination. And that imagination is so powerful when we get up in the morning, we say, oh my Jesus, everything that you are is flowing through me as the branch of your vine. And I'm going to be just like you today. You're going to guide me and lead me today as I would if I were you, because you're in me. And that will check us every time that we come up against some kind of a thing that we, you know, that comes against us. The love always, if you read it in the word about the love of Jesus, my gracious, how many people did he heal? How many people did he make happy? Deliver them from the enemy. Glory to God. And that's the way you can, how many of you know that you can deliver yourself from things? Devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You ain't got no right in here, and I ain't putting up with it. And you can do that because Jesus said we could. And because he's a part of us. If he's a part of us, we can do that. We can absolutely deliver ourselves from any and everything that comes against us. I bind you, enemy, every morning. I bind you, enemy, from coming against me, and I quench every fire dart that you throw against me in Jesus' name. I cast down every curse spoken against me in Jesus' name, and there ain't nothing that the enemy can come at me that can't be thrown down and quenched in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for putting a shield of protection around all of my children and my children's children and my children's 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 children. Praise God. So we can do that. We can do that. I think we talked about it the last time about that. Did I tell y'all about that atheist that had turned Christian? And he was talking about the kids at schools, that the teachers that are in satanic cults, that they can penetrate the minds of the unsaved kids that have unsaved parents. They can penetrate their mind and get them to do whatever they want them to do. But he said the ones that had this band of fire around them, he said, there wasn't nothing you could do about them. Those were kids that had praying parents. Praying parents. And that's why it's necessary for us as parents and grandparents to pray for our families every day, if possible. when you pray for your kids and your kids' kids, you're praying for their protection against the enemy. And we won't have problems. They won't have problems like other kids have. Because that shield of fire is around them. Praise God. Woo, glory to God. That's the power that God has available for us as his people. And to exercise that part of our walk is necessary to keep your family in line with the Word of God. Or to bring one of them in. Just believe for them. Like we all are, you know. He's given us household salvation. It's up to us to do it. To voice it. And to have faith for them. How do you have faith for them? By confessing it. I tell Blake as much as I can. I'll say my grandkid. I'll tell my grand, look at that mighty man of God right there. That mighty woman of God. Glory to God. They may not show any kind of outside impartations of that. That's okay. You're still confessing by faith to what they are. To any and everybody that listens. They might, I know I've had my old papa. What are you doing that for? I said, because I believe what God told me about you. And we just confess it with boldness, and that's what happens. They'll come in. They're coming in. There ain't no, that, God's not, he's not going to lie about what he's told us, is he? No, he ain't. Our job is to confess it, regardless of what people think. He says, I know I love because he has shed abroad his love in my heart through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. What is 5? Grace, isn't it? Ooh, glory to God. Look out now. And I know that his nature in me is love. His love ability has gained the mastery. For now I can love in whatever circumstance I am placed in. That means, love means this. And I'm learning this. Love means this, when all hell breaks loose against you, just to keep your mouth shut and start praying. Don't retaliate. Just keep your mouth quiet and just pray. And I can pray and I can say with joy, sin shall not have dominion over me, Romans 6:14. It can no longer lord itself over me. Circumstances can no longer hold me in bondage and hinder my usefulness in the world. I not only have God's life in me and this great spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead in me, but I also have the use of Jesus' name. He has given to me a legal right to use it. And my confession is that whatever I ask of the Father in his name, he gives to me. He's given me the power of attorney, and I'm using that power to help men. I am taking Jesus' place now. He is working his work through me. He is living his own life in me. Glory be to God. Anybody got any comments or anything I'd like to add to this? Yeah, Julie?
Just reemphasizes what you're saying, Michael. We just need to speak the word of God. All the time we are oracles, and not let the enemy deter us from doing that, to get too busy or distracted or whatever. And I guess part of that's been my issue. I haven't been using that book regularly. I have it on my iPad, and I have it on my computer and stuff. So Lord, help me and all my brethren, Lord, to be disciplined and to be, putting you first, Lord. And when there's things that do demand our time right away, because they do sometimes, But we will still sit down and make time for you and do these things. And we do have devotions with you. It's not like we're ignoring you, but it is so powerful to pray the word over ourselves, confess it over ourselves, personalize it for ourselves, our families, our loved ones, and however you lead us. Lord, so help me to do that and help my brethren to do that regularly. Thank you, Lord. Can't do it in my own strength. I need your help. I need your grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. That's right. Glory be to God. Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out demons. I'm exercising my rights when I do that. He said, in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It doesn't say maybe they'll recover, or if it's my will, they'll recover. He said, they shall recover. My hands become the medium through which his life pours. And I am living the abundant life, and I know my words are his words. His words broke the power of death, the demons, and healed the sick, or the God. And they do the same thing through our lips. This is my confession. This is my heart expressing itself through words in my lip, because confession is faith's way of expressing that. Faith, like love, is only revealed in action and word, because there's no faith without confession. Faith grows with your confession. Confession does several things to the believer. It locates him. It fixes the landmarks of his life. It mightily attracts or affects his spirit. The inner man, when he makes his declaration. For instance, there is Romans 10 and 9, or chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you all know what salvation means. David's already explained that to us in the real good news. It's everything that we need in this life. And remember this, that faith never grows beyond your confession. If you don't confess it, you ain't getting it. Your daily confession of what the Father is to you, what Jesus is now doing for you at the right hand of the Father, and what the mighty Holy Spirit is doing in you, will build a positive, solid faith life. You ain't going to be afraid of any circumstances or of any disease or of any condition. And you'll fearlessly face life a conqueror. And after a while, you'll find that Romans 8 and 37 is true. Nay, in all these things. Get out of here. Satan is trying to make me sleep. There you go. In Jesus' name. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Glory to God. You'll never be a conqueror until you confess it. Y'all believe that? I do. I believe it. That's what your faith is. That's what faith is. And a wrong confession. Let's talk about that in just a minute. A wrong confession is the confession of defeat, failure, and of the supremacy of Satan. Talking about your combat with the devil, and how he has hindered you, and how he is holding you in bondage and keeping you sick. That's a confession of defeat. It is a wrong confession. It glorifies your adversary. And it is an unconscious declaration that your Father God is a failure. Most of the confessions that we hear today glorify the devil. They destroy faith, and they hold you in bondage. How many of you ever heard this, you know? Well, I'm just telling you what's actually happening. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is, no, devil, I ain't accepting this. In Jesus' name, I am healed, or I'm delivered, or whatever the circumstances are. I don't lack. I have an abundant supply over and above everything that I need. the confession of my lips that have grown out of faith in my heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. The confession of Satan's ability to hinder you and keep you from success gives Satan dominion over you and fills you with fear and weakness. But if you boldly confess your Father's care and protection and declare that he that is in you is greater than any force around you, you're going to rise above that satanic influence. Every time you confess your doubts and fears, your weaknesses and your disease, you're openly confessing that the word of God is not true and that God has failed to make it good. And he declares that with his stripes you were healed. And surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Instead of confessing that he has borne my disease and put them away, I confess that I still have them. And I take the testimony of my senses instead of the testimony of the word of God. And as long as I hold fast to my confession of weakness, sickness, and pain, I'm still going to have them. And a believer who is always confessing his sins and his weaknesses is building weakness, failure, and sin into his consciousness. What did he say? He said, if we do sin, when we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. You ought to mark that in red, yellow, and green, and white, and blue. When that confession has been made, we never need to refer to it again. It's not past history, because history can be remembered. This is as though as it has never been. And that's right. It's as though it never has been. We should never remind ourselves or the Lord of our failings or of our past mistakes. Never do that. Because it's gone. He don't remember. Why should you? The believer who is always confessing his sins and his weaknesses is building weakness, failure, and sin into his consciousness. Now, if we do sin, when we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just quoted that. When that confession has been made, never refer to it again. It's gone. It's not past history. We ought not to never remind ourselves of our failings, of our past mistakes. They are not. And if you confess anything, confess that you stand complete in him. That's what you ought to be confessing. And that what God has said in regard to your mistakes and blunders is absolutely true. You ought to be confessing, I confess that God is the Lord of my life, that he is the Lord over disease, sickness, and Satan, and I hold fast to my confession of Jesus' absolute lordship over everything that would keep me in bondage or hinder me from enjoying the finished work of Christ. And in the face of every need, I confess that the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want, and it's always in the present tense. He is my supply, he is my health, he is my strength, he is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? Glory be to God. Somebody ought to be shouting out there. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, Julie, I didn't see your hand was up. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. You were finishing up. That was good. Yeah, you couldn't hear me. I was shouting. Praise the Lord. I was agreeing with everything you said.
Okay. Glory to God.
Well, it was coming to me and you were reading all that is, you know, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. When we speak in the confession, just everything you said about ourselves, our circumstances, about who he is and, you know, Lord of everything regarding us. Gosh, when we do that, you know, he's speaking that to the Father. you know, and that's who brings it to pass. I remember David saying that, one of those teachings. It's like, you keep confessing it, God will bring it to pass. Whatever it is you're confessing about yourself is what you're going to get, right? And, so we want to give Jesus, our high priest, the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. And it's also, when you do that, Michael, it was coming to me, is that's how we overcome the mind of the flesh. That I don't know any other way, you know, it's speaking, what God says about us. It's just, you know, renewing our mind, and he does the work. We don't even get the credit, you know, we can't take any credit. It's his written word. And I think the more you do that, especially when you read it out loud like that, it goes into your heart. It goes deeper into your heart, and you know it. You met it in its power, and you're speaking it out into the spiritual realm. You know, and I think there's a whole host of angels that were just going, yeah, go Michael. Yeah, yeah.
Amen. 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 That's quantum faith. Quantum faith, the things that you're speaking, the things that you're talking about, the things that you're talking about is what's happening. If you're talking faith, you're getting it. If you're talking healing, you're getting it. If you're talking doubt and unbelief, you're getting it. Go ahead, Andrew. Excuse me.
Yeah, and I think it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. There's an opposing confession, and then there's the good confession. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, to see whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then it says, the good confession is you're supposed to confess that Christ is in you. And then there's the other confession. You know, I can't remember exactly how the verse goes now. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And of course, I remember when we did it, David was teaching on this long time ago, and he just says, just speak it plainly like it is, you know, that spirit is in you. Confess Jesus. And then there's the bad confession too, right after that. And of course it says Antichrist. So, I think that, some of the teachings about Antichrist that are in the church, I don't think they include this one here. Because people are confessing things that are not right, and I don't like when that happens, because I want the church to confess the good confession, of course. And, you know, there would be people who say, well, I never professed to be a prophet, so I can't be a false one. But they're still professing the way a false prophet would, confessing the way a false prophet would confess. So, you know, that's just kind of hard, you know. Me and Ben were doing a little, I guess, reading of the Bible. I would read a couple of verses and then he would read them. And just trying to think of, as we were reading Philippians, and he would read two or three verses and then I would, and, you know, we would just kind of claim all the verses that were good for ourselves, you know. And it was a nice, I kind of think it's a little game. I don't know. Maybe we can play some more. you know, it's fun to have someone around to read the word with. And, you know, occasionally he would just read the word to me. It's nice to hear it out of someone else's voice, too, without it being just a little square. Anyway. Praise God, and there's some good confession when you read the Bible. I mean, it's all supposed to be the spirit of the word anyway. It's weird when you get people spiritualizing the spirit of the word and then it turns back into the letter again. So I don't understand that, why they would do that, but that's what they do. They come up with their teachings, and they come against the spirit of the word, and they start speaking the latter. They do that a lot. There's the other people too. They make other everyone's confessing something else that's not there, you know. And 40,000 different denominations? How many different confessions do you have there then? What's going on here? You know, we better confess what is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And glory to God for that. And we need the Lord to tame our tongue, to have the proper behavior. You know, I was just telling Ben today, and all the fruits of the Spirit, they're all really behavioral. Like they're your behavior. The love of agape is a behavior, because when you obey, you get a behavior out of it. You get an action out of it. So they're all behavioral. And when you give your diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, knowledge was the only one in there. That's really not a behavior, but it is kind of, because you need that behavior that's in the knowledge, but knowledge is not a behavioral thing. It's something that comes into you to increase your faith and your virtue and your self-control and your patience and your godliness and your brotherly kindness and your love. And of course, we were told that it was like those little dolls that fit into each other. And that's the inner man, from the faith all the way into the love. And that's the confession that has to come out of us. The confession of this knowledge, just as Peter says earlier on in that verse, where he says, since his divine power had given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness, which is a behavior that's supposed to come out of us, but it is through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. And that's just it. You see, there's still so many Christians who don't know that they have to be called. Even, you know, they're in the first land of the parable of the sower, and that's what they confess out of their mouth. It just comes out of a legalistic form of Christianity comes out of them constantly. And this is what they confess. And they don't understand that the law is a curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And they're really confused about that. Some of them, even who know their salvation, are confused about that. And I don't know how this came in to like, you know, I was just telling Ben earlier, you know, you can get a person who's a Baptist, a young boy or girl, and they know they have to be saved one day, and they're waiting for that day. A Pentecostal, the same. Church of God, even a Methodist, want that day when they see that they're saved. And then something might happen to them after they get saved. But there's a different confession that comes in, you know, so it's tough to confess when you're amongst them, because you could be confessing something that the Lord doesn't want you to confess, and now he has to save you from that. So anyways, these people know what I'm talking about when I talk about that kind of stuff. But glory to God, and confess Jesus all the time. Praise God.
Amen. Well, you're right, there are 40 something thousand denomination, and we've got 40,000 different religions going on. But to get in unity with the Lord is to study the Word with the Holy Spirit and allow him to help you understand what you read. And there's a bunch of churches out there that don't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or if they do, they've got a wrong a misunderstanding of what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And that's the power that raised Jesus from the grave, took him up there and put him on the right hand of the Father. That's the power of God right there. But, yeah, you've got people with all these letters behind their names, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And if they're not behind, if they don't have them filled with the Holy Spirit, why would you even listen to them?
Well, even in Corinthians chapter 1, even if there's four divisions, apparently God doesn't like that either.
No.
You know, that, now we get like times 10,000. So, some people tell me, oh no, there's only 32,000 of them. Well, even if you have four, you know, there's gotta be one, you know, like how many ones is in, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. Hey, think about that one for a second. One faith, one baptism, you know, I don't know if that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there is one there too, and one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. So it's got to come out of you, and He walks in you too. So that's pretty comforting and wonderful to have the Father in you. Just whose name are they really confessing then? I don't like to bring that up because it man, the Father's certainly going to have a big thing that He has to do here, and He's going to have to do it. He does it right. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, probably.
He's got to do to help all the people, you know. And I mean, we all came from a different past too, so
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So. Well, our job is to get out the truth that we have.
No, like as soon as you started mentioning confession, I went into my concordance and looked up all the different confessions here. It says confess, confessed, confesseth. Confessing, confession, and there's quite a few verses in here that, it's a word where you're talking word, and the fear of the Lord should be upon a person when he talks about the Lord's word. I find that sometimes you might even get visibly shaken, and sometimes, you know, you get caught up, you know, you can't speak anything else because it's a person who's worldly or in one of the denominations and you don't know what to say, you know, and the Lord stops you. He prevents you, or He might even make you forget who said that, you know, in the past. That is something wrong because He doesn't want you to remember that, you know. He doesn't want you to remember the name of this person who may have said something wrong because maybe He's got plans for him too. And And of course, if you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind, then what is the thing that's going to come out of your mouth as a confession? So, and like, I think it was Julie who said, 1 Peter 4:11 about, the oracles of God coming out of your mouth. So there's other words that you can look up in your concordance that might mean confession also. Praise God.
Amen. Well, I've heard people often think, say that Christianity is confession. It's basically confession. And it is. It's confessing who you are in Christ.
You see, I remember from the first denomination that I was in, they would put you in this little booth where you used to have to go and confess your sins. And that's what some people might think confession is, you know. And then you used to say some sort of prayer, and then you had to tell the guy on the other side of the screen who couldn't see your face what your confession was, confessing your sins. And then he'd tell you to go and say so many prayers, Hail Marys, or or our fathers, so that you can be forgiven, which is totally unscriptural.
Don't you have to count them little beads, too?
Oh, no, no, the beads were something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the beads were, oh, boy. Let's just say, you know, when they had those Hail Mary passes, I'm telling you, they're going to be the best football players. if they get them answered, anyway, I don't know. So, the beads are weird. Yeah. I sort of got rid of that thing that I had with all the beads on it. Yeah, I hope I got rid of it anyway. It should be in the garbage somewhere. Anyway, and that's like vain repetition of prayer, and you're not supposed to pray to anyone but the Father. You know, you can maybe confide in Jesus, but Jesus lives in you, so you pray to the Father, who also dwells in you. Because, you know, Jesus said, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. And you see, these are the things that are barriers. There's a lot of barriers in some of these places. A lot of walls set up by people because of their confessions that they've been, the words they've been told on what to believe, you know. And it's hard for them to understand. And yet, there might be some people who know their salvation, even there. So, you know, the parable of the sower, the four different lands, has to come up to medication. But you don't go there to judge. So, you know, like, it's because we want people to be saved. We're not put in this world to judge the world. You know, in John 3:17, the world is mentioned three times in that verse. If you do it wrong, then you're of the world. So you don't want to be a worldly wise man. So you don't want judgment. You want salvation for them. But if you speak to save them, they think they're being judged. I don't know what it is that goes through another person's head. So anyways, the good confession is always the best confession, because good is God. Anyway, there's only one that's good, and that's God. I have that on Jesus's word. and God lives in us, and Jesus does too. So we got to carry around that goodness with us, that behavioral good quality of the spirit, of the fruit of the spirit, which is goodness. Praise God.
Amen. If we stay with the word, you can't go wrong, can you? That's right. Praise God. Confessing the word is always the best way to go. It's in this book, it talks in here also about confessing the wrong confession, which actually nullifies everything that you've already confessed about the good confession. And that's something we need to bear in mind a lot, because when you confess the good confession, you break down all of those strongholds that have built up in your mind through the years of wrong confession. We don't want to be, as my granddaughter said, negative Nancy. Don't want to be a negative Nancy. We want to be a positive, whatever that is, positive Paul, I guess. But anyway, I believe that if we will confess who we are in Christ every day, that you'll turn into whatever you confess. That's what quantum faith taught us. Even all the timelines and all of that stuff, which is relevant. But if you confess it, you don't have to worry even about that. We all want to be in the right timeline. When we're in the right timeline, you ain't going to go wrong. Whatever that means. Anybody else? Is anybody getting anything out of this? I am, if y'all not. Glory to God, I am.
Absolutely. Michael, are you reading out of The New Kind of Love?
Uh-oh.
By Kenyon? No? It's a different, something different?
Yeah. This is a booklet that I sent out, some time back. I forget how many pages are in it, but I called it Confessing the Word, and it's a conglomeration of different people, and myself included. It's 24 pages long. It's a booklet that I sent out to everybody. Missy's got one right there.
Confession of the Word.
Yeah.
I did a search. I can't find it.
Okay. I'll send it to you if you want.
All right, please.
It'll have to be when I get back to Tennessee Sunday. So,
okay.
If I forget Tuesday night, remind me and I'll send it.
All right.
But
thanks.
I've got the mind of Christ, so I'll remember it. So,
gotcha.
Praise God. Yeah, it's a good booklet, and the reason I sent it out, I wanted people to go ahead and start confessing it and understanding why we need to confess it out loud. When you do it out loud, it gets into your spirit. Because you're reading it, you're getting it in your mind, and then you're hearing it, and you're getting it in your spirit as well. Yeah. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, but there's also the verse where the Father sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit in His name. And He's going to teach you all things, and He's going to remind you of what He teaches you. That's a good mm-hmm. confession, too, when He reminds you of everything He taught you. So there you go. And, you know, that'll also work even with just the individual word. Like, if He tells you, if you use the word kingdom, you know, you can have a reminder come into you right away. Or if He uses the word manifest, you know, you can find another word for it, like shine and stuff, because you were taught this. And if He uses the word transformed. I was looking at that one today, and when you look it up in the Greek, it sounds like the word metamorphosis, to be like metamorphic, to metaphor, to be changed, to go through some metamorphosis, you know, you know, when you watch those crazy sci-fi movies and he changes into a monster, you don't want to go that way, though. You want to change into the transform into Christ. Okay. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a metamorphosis there. Igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary. Those are the three rocks, okay, in geology. So there's a rock is what you're supposed to put your house on anyway. So find a metamorphic rock to build your house on.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. Oh, my. Absolutely. I bet you can't say all that again. Amen. That was good. Praise God. Well, that's right. If you have the Holy Spirit, He helps you. He brings those things back to remembrance. And when you need them, praise God. I'll tell you what, I'll spend only 30 minutes or more sometimes. I'll do a whole hour, some 45 minutes to an hour, just confessing who I am, going through this book and finding those verses. That's what I am. I tell you, that's it. It helps me get through the day because I'm always thinking about Jesus. What's going on here? Oh, did you find it? Okay, good. Praise God. All right, anybody else? I've got too much to snack on here to have. You got something you want to share, Ben?
I finally found the list. You did send it.
Okay. Praise God. Yeah, I think I sent it to everybody. Here's the one off of, I did this off of Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. Now I confess the absolute lordship of Jesus and the absolute righteousness that is imparted to me in my redemption. And I dare to confess before the world and before the throne of God that Jesus is now my Lord and that I have received salvation and become the righteousness of God in him. I confess that I am a new creation of which Jesus is the head and the Lord. The word has taken Jesus's place in my life. And I am to obey the word as I would obey Jesus if he stood right there in front of me in my presence. Glory be to God. And then the second confession is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I confess that I no longer have cares. I don't have any anxieties. I ain't got no burdens. And I can never have weaknesses. I can never be unnerved and unfit for life's work. My mind is complete and clear. My spirit is free. My testimony has the anointing of the Spirit upon it because he bears every burden. He carries every load and meets every need. Glory be to God. Woo! Praise God forevermore. A third confession is this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want for money. I don't want for health or rest. I don't want for strength. I don't want for anything. He's all that I need. And this is a living reality. What a life is mine. What a sense of security, of power, and of victory. And you're not afraid to take your stand on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. My God shall supply all of my needs. Glory be to God. And then I loudly make my fourth confession. And that's in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. I'm on page 8 if you're wondering. It's true, every disease, every weakness, and every infirmity was laid on Jesus Christ. And I'm free from them. And just as he bore my sin, he bore my disease. And I stand complete in him, free from the burden, the power, the pain, and the effect of disease or infirmities. This confession gives me a healthy body, a clear mind, and a conquering spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you ever heard that saying, mind over matter? Well, it's true. I believe it. I believe in it. And it says, my fifth confession is that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 is absolutely true. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ has been made all these things unto me. I don't need to pray for wisdom, as James told the babes in Christ to do, because he, Jesus, is my wisdom. I don't have to ask for righteousness, because I have become the righteousness of God in him. I don't have to ask him to sanctify me, because he is my sanctification. And I don't have to pray for redemption, because I am redeemed. He is my redemption, and what a confession to make before the whole world. Hebrews 4:14, let us hold fast our confession, he said. And we have found in a measure what our confession is. But there's a great deal more to it. And my success and usefulness in the world are going to be measured by my confession and by the tenacity with which I hold fast to that confession. By the tenacity with which I hold fast to that confession under all circumstances or opinions of men. I will never yield to fear or listen to the voice of senses as their flesh. Your senses are your flesh, the five senses. You don't pay any attention to those. You pay attention to what the Word of God says. Go ahead, Andrew.
Wanted to mention, since you mentioned senses, don't get carried away with someone else's senses too, because they'll confess a confession to you, and they want to lead your witness. And God's bringing the gavel down in heaven. Hey, don't they hear me here? But that's a court of law here. But they want to lead the witness, and you don't. You have a witness within you that is the witness of the confession of Christ in you, which is your eternal life, as it says in the fifth chapter of 1 John. And that witness is what you're supposed to have in 1 John. The witness of man is one thing, but the witness of God is another. So there's a confession there that's made. And just wanted to say, because this is the big problem in the world. Everybody has a confession. And look what people are believing now. Just in our lifetime, people are believing in some of this really weird stuff that even atheists don't believe in. When I was on YouTube the other day, but sometimes I do watch a little bit of it, but there's this professed atheist and he's defending Christianity. And this is why we're in this problem, because the people who confess other than Christ or the Father, they have a problem now. We've got a worldwide problem because people have stepped into someone else's confession. They teach you in school, for instance, Ken Hovind really is against those people who speak a different kind of origin. But it's been prophesied by Peter in 2 Peter 3 and 5 that they were going to do this. So, there's a different confession that's been prophesied of the last days there in Peter. So they've been reading it for 1700 years, and now it's happened in the 1800s or 1700s sometime ago. And now it's happened. So and sometimes the church was caught between a rock and a hard place and didn't know what to say to these people that were making a different confession. And there is so many things that people profess and confess. I'd just like to say also that when I was listening to some historical document from the days of Polycarp, he said to them, don't make yourself available for the Colosseum. The Lord will make you available for the Colosseum if you have to go there. Because Christianity still had to go on for a couple of more hundred years. If you were Polycarp or someone special, you were going there. But the other ones didn't go there because it wasn't their time yet. In other words, they left. He told you to leave it in God's hands if you had to go in to that forum, that arena of the Colosseums that were all over the Roman Empire, not just in Rome, but in Carthage and Smyrna, where I think it was in Smyrna where Polycarp lost his life, who was a good friend of the Apostle John. So these confessions, and sometimes people who have a job where they use their mouth a lot, they have to confess things in accordance to the nation they live in, and they can't get away from it because they're a judge or a president or something, and they confess things that are not the confession that they should be confessing, because they weren't taught that way when they were a little child. Especially anyone who has any even form of Christianity shouldn't be confessing some of these things they confess. And that's why there's such a move toward justice, law and order. But we understand that the law is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, as he said on the Sermon on the Mount. Think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill, which is in the grace and faith. So, praise the glory to God. So I'm just wanted to bring that up when you got these people who have these feelings. They confess according to their feelings, and that could be passed on to someone else. And that this is a deterioration even in the church when they bring the world in.
Amen. Where'd Debbie go? I thought she was in here. I wanted to get her to share Monday night's word she got from the Lord. It's pretty good. I just read it.
Can you contact her and ask her to?
That's what I'm doing now.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, maybe she'll come back in. If she doesn't, I'll read it. Yeah, Missy.
Did you see that she just put it in the chat?
Yeah, I said if she didn't come in, I'll read it. But I'd rather she just go ahead and say it. Yeah.
I don't think she was in here this evening, though.
Oh, was she?
I don't think so.
Who is that? 903.
That's Megan. Hey, Megan.
I thought so. All right. I'll give her a little time to get on. If she wants to get on, she may be busy. I don't know. Yeah, then I loudly make my fourth confession that Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, that every disease, every weakness, and every, okay. I don't think I did.
Read it again, Michael.
Okay. Every disease, every weakness, and every infirmity was laid on Jesus Christ, and I am free of them. Just like he bore my sin, he bore my disease, he bore my infirmities, and I stand complete in him. Free from the burden, the power, the pain, and the effects of all of this. And this confession gives me a healthy body, a clear mind, and a conquering spirit. Oh, glory to God. My fifth confession. Oh, yeah, I did that one too, didn't I? Okay. Well, we'll just move along. Let's see what she says. Okay, she's busy, so I'll read it from the signal. All right, here's what the Lord said. She says, Debbie says, we were worshiping the Lord with the song, I Give You My Heart. And during that song, the Lord started filling my heart with what was on his heart. He said, I want to tell you something. I want you to know that I will have my way with you, my children, for I see and I hear the desires of your heart for me to have my way in you, and I will. I will have my way in you. This is my desire also for me to have my way in you. Let this continually be your desire. Don't look at your weaknesses. I see your hearts. I look deep into your hearts. I see your weaknesses. I see your stumblings. Do not let them stop you desiring that I have my way in you. I see the desire of your heart to overcome. Keep longing for only me. It's in your longing for me that will be your strength to continue to overcome. Keep that longing in your heart for me to have my way in you. For I tell you, it is already set within me that I will have my way in you. For it is you I have chosen to have my way in. Continue in me, I say. I will have my way in you. Yes, I will even have my way in you now. And then a song or two later, we sang, I Surrender. And in that song, we again sang, have your way in me. Glory to God. God is, I've often said this, and I still believe it. God's grace is so much more bigger than anything that we can understand. We think that we're failing all the time. Some of us think that we're failing all the time, when in fact, God's grace picks us back up and says, hang on, boys and girls, hang on. I've got this. I want you more than you want me. And when he does that, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. His grace is so much more powerful than anything that we can understand. And that grace and that mercy that he has is going to bring us revival on. I guarantee. Go ahead, Missy.
I forget where it's at. I think it's in Romans 5 where it says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more exceedingly. And if you read the context of it, well, I was reading it one day and I'm not so sure that, the Lord helped me to understand this. Through the context, it is probably a little bit of that and plus Revelation, you know, and I realized what that verse means. There are a lot of people I know take that. If you take that stand alone, you end up with greasy grace. In other words, it gives you a license to sin. But what the Lord showed me was is where sin abounds, grace abounds more exceedingly. In other words, the grace abounds exceedingly so that you overcome that sin, you know, that sin that you're struggling with or the flesh or whatever, you know, and, that just, really encouraged me and so just wanted to share that.
Yeah, well, amen. That's where a lot of people missed it. You hit the nail right on the head. A lot of people say, well, he's going to forgive me anyway, so I can go ahead and sin just so that he'll love me more. I know what he's talking about. And that's where a lot of people, the mainline denomination of churches miss it. He wants us to look like Jesus. The more we look like Jesus, the more that we'll be effective in the kingdom to help bring the kingdom of God here on earth. Glory be to God. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word and your words that you give us as we grow along the way, and these words of encouragement that you do give us, Lord, are awesome. And they keep us hanging on. They keep us fighting more and fighting more and fighting daily over these, and being like Missy said, an overcomer over these things that have hindered our walk, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father. Yeah, Missy.
And what goes right along with that, which is very important, because the enemy will attack me with this. I'm overcoming it, but it's condemnation. You know? He just slips the condemnation right in there. And, you know, and if I believe him, then I don't, you know, that just, I can't overcome then. I don't have the faith to overcome. I don't have the faith believing that the Lord in me is the overcomer will help me overcome that by the power of his spirit that's in me. Jesus lives in me, for crying out loud. I mean, I have everything that he has is given to me.
Yep. He's giving you everything you need, doesn't he?
You just sit and think about that. You just sit and think about that and meditate on that. You could think about that all day long. You know? That is so awesome. That, you know, he's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. That's an awesome inheritance. God doesn't, you know, if he gave his only son for me, how much more will he not give me all things? He gave that his, the Father's son, Jesus, was his most precious thing to him, and he gave him to die in my place, to take the curse, to take the sin and the curse of sin upon himself for me. And he gave me instead everything that he is. Woohoo, that is so awesome. Praise you, Father. Thank you for loving us so much. It's just, amen. Thank you, Father, for giving your only son. You loved us that much. It's John 3:16. And Jesus laid down his life. He says, there's no greater love than this than a man laid down his life for his friend. He says, and I've called you friend. I've called you my friends.
We would treat him as a friend. Really. And to treat him as a friend, he's in every one of them. How he does that, I don't know. But he is in every one of us. And he wants us to treat him as a friend. And just tell him, you know, I forget sometimes. I get busy. I know everybody here does too. We get things come up, but we ought to just sit down sometime. But Jesus, come here. Let me tell you what I did yesterday. And just sit down and talk to him for a few minutes. He don't make any difference. Just a few minutes. He loves it. Yeah. Let me get Julie, Missy, unless you want to add on to what you already said. Okay. Go ahead.
Kind of, sort of. It goes along with it.
Okay.
That song, As the Deer, is such a deer song. It's such a sweet song. Sometimes I get to singing that, and it, as you would say, Michael, it blesses my socks off, you know? You know, puts a greater and more love of the Lord in my heart. And really that love, the most important is the agape, is that obedience love, you know? How can I not love him that, gave everything up for me, gave himself, gave me everything that he is. I mean, how could I not want to obey? You know, if I believe everything that his word says, then that belief turns into obedience. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, anyway. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Go ahead, Jen.
Well, I just wanted to comment a little bit about, like, what Missy said. You know, he attacks my mind, too, with condemnation. But before he can attack you with condemnation, he's got to put something in your mind and accuse you of something. Whatever that may be, you know, and he attacks me with doubt. And then he puts thoughts in my mind about my circumstances or, you know, my trials or something like that, and trying to make me take the bait that I've done something wrong. You know, so he can condemn me of something. And I'm just like, I have to just, you know, get quiet before the Lord and just say, well, you know, my heart doesn't condemn me, but Lord, if I've done something, and I tell you, you know, the enemy is just putting all kinds of thoughts there. And I'm like, no. I don't think so. No. You have to cast them down. But you know, that teaching that David did on Sunday about the word being our standard and stuff. And one of the things David said in there was, you know, the enemy has to get you to agree with something that isn't true or something like that. But, you know, it's like you got to, you know, get rid of those strongholds. You have to use, like Michael was confessing the word tonight, use the word and destroy those strongholds that the enemy still wants to put in your head about X, Y, or Z, you know, whatever it is. For everybody is something different, right? But he's got to get you to doubt the word of God, because that's what he did with Eve in the garden first, right? Did God say this? Well, it's like, yeah, he said it. You know, God said, all my sins were forgiven. He died for me when I was yet a sinner. He doesn't hold any of my sins against me. It says so. He fulfilled the law. He abolished the law. He took away my sin. You know, you just have to hammer on him, you know. But what that does is just, you know, reemphasizes in your own heart and your mind the truth, you know. And I don't know how else to break the strongholds, you know. I can break them in the name of Jesus, but it's using the word and renewing your mind and destroying those strongholds that the enemy wants to twist and pervert and try to get you to accept something. And if it's not just in your mind, he's attacking your body with something too. At the same time, you know, he'll throw the kitchen sink at you. You just get into the warfare and praise and thank God that he's, you know, he is who he is, and he promised what he said, and he meant what he said, and he's going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass, you know. But yeah, that's our warfare, and it's only making us stronger. It's uncomfortable. I find sometimes my flesh gets really uncomfortable with the stuff I got to deal with some days. Oh, Lord. You know, and that's why, you know, Michael, thank you for sharing that tonight, because it just reminds me how important it is to start the day with, you know, putting on the armor and using it against our enemy and building yourself up in your most holy faith and all these things. And so even some days when I'm not feeling 100%, you know, when I'm weak, and it's like, well, Lord, you see what's going on here. You gotta help me. You know, you gotta help me, strengthen me and help me. So anyhow, I just want to share that, Missy. It's like he's after us. He doesn't want us to, he does not want Jesus Christ, Son of God, to manifest in us as sons of God, because as David has said, you know, the devil can't do anything with the Son of God. Once we overcome that sin nature and or that moon glory and coming into our sun glory, you know, he fears us, and we got to remind him of that too. You know, he's afraid of us, that we have authority over him. He has none, and we can't let him get it, take any. So thanks for sharing that, Missy.
Amen. All right. Anyone else got any comments on anything we talked about tonight? Or is that Andrew or Ben? The Slajowski boys.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes after you do a praise and worship, you get a good confession in your head going over and over again. And that's a really nice fit. Even little kids will get touched, you know, they'll be singing a song in their head because people were worshiping and praising this song in church, and then they take it with them. They might even remember it, or they'll just, the service or the gathering will be finished, and they'll be in the car singing it on their way home or something, you know. So that's a good confession, you know. And you know, meditation is a good confession too. I figure if the Lord can read your mind anyway, so you might as well meditate on him. So that's a good confession there too, the confession in your mind. I mean, you're being transformed with the renewing of your mind, so you might as well, you know, what you have on your mind is a good thing to have on your mind, the Lord a lot, and in the love of the Lord. And that's a good thing for meditation and prayer. Whenever I sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, there's always a prayer that comes into my head before I finish the song. You know, I even sometimes stop singing it halfway and then start praying on something that I was reminded of. And it never fails that whenever I sing that song, you know, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I'm always reminded of something to pray for. I call it my prayer song, you know, praise and prayer. You know, those are the good words to have always in you. Very close together. You got to get in your altar for both of them. You never leave the altar. Don't come out of that altar. Stay there. Go to bed there. Do everything in your altar. It's an altar of grace. Praise God.
Amen. Now I want to go over a good part of this, or a part that needs to be said. And it says there is a great danger of a dual confession. You confess his faithfulness, the absolute faithfulness of his word, and yet at the same time you confess his sickness. You confess your weakness, your lack of money, your lack of ability. You have confessed that he was your supplier, that he was your healer. You have confessed that you were healed by his stripes, and now you talk about your lack of ability to do that, this or that, because of your sickness. You can't do the housework or go about your business because you're not able to do it. Yet, you have made your confession that he was the strength of your life and that with his stripes you were healed. Your confession of sickness and disease destroys what you are in Christ or what he is to you. This is one of the most dangerous of all confessions. But you'll find that you have been so carefully trained in the confession of wrong, of failure, of weakness, of sin, a sickness and a want, that it will take a great deal of discipline through the word to cure you of the habit. Now you can make a confession and stand by it. What I confess, I possess. I confess Jesus as my Lord. Romans 10:9-10. Therefore I possess salvation. I confess that by his stripes I am healed. Therefore, I possess healing. I confess that the Son has made me free. Therefore, I possess absolute freedom. I confess that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I possess the ability to love everybody. Ooh. I confess that the righteous are bold as a lion. Therefore, I possess lion-hearted boldness in spiritual warfare. You go in there with your shield and your sword out. I confess that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I possess the presence of God each step that I take. I confess that I am the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, I possess redemption benefits every day. I confess that the anointing of the Holy One abides in me. 1 John 2:27. Therefore, I possess yoke and strong results by this anointing. Isaiah 10:27. I confess that in the name of Jesus, I can cast out demons and devils. Therefore, I possess dynamic deliverances as a devil master. I confess that I can lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. Therefore, I possess positive healing for the oppressed. I confess that I am a branch of the living vine. Therefore, I possess vine life. I possess vine life wherever I go. And I confess that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, I possess the ability to stand freely in God's holy presence and in Satan's presence as a victor. Glory to God. I confess that I am a temple of the living God. Therefore, I possess God dwelling in me and walking in me. And I confess that my God shall supply all my needs. Therefore, I possess the supply of every need. And when we realize that, we will never rise above our confession. We're getting to the place where God can really begin to use us. You confess that by his stripes you're healed, and hold fast to that confession. No disease can stand before you. And whether we realize it or not, we're sowing words. Just like Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And the sower went forth to sow, and the seed he was sowing was the word of God. This is the seed we should sow. Others are sowing flesh knowledge seeds or sense knowledge seeds of fear and doubt. It's when I confess the word of God, declare with emphasis that by his stripes I am healed, for my God supplies every need of mine, and I hold fast to my confession that I see my deliverance. My words beget faith or doubt in others. Revelation 12 and 11 declares this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him with the word of God that was in their testimony. They conquered the devil with the words. Praise be to God forever. One thing that I wanted to mention, Andrew, a while ago, and I forgot to mention it, that word meditate in the Greek also means imagination. It means imagination, and that means to use this to imagine who you are in Christ, what you are. It's beyond my comprehension right now to understand that Christ is in me. He's in Julie. He's in Benjamin. He's in Andrew. He's in Pat. He's in Teresa. He's in everybody in here. He's in everybody in here. I can't comprehend in my fleshly mind what that means. I know it's true, though. And as long as I know it's true and trust in him, with all this other stuff doesn't make any difference, does it? It don't make no never mind. Praise God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
What came to mind when you just said that is, let God be found true and every man a liar.
That's right.
You know, and what you said there is your mind can't comprehend it. Our mind does not have to comprehend it. But God says it's true. What God says, you know, he does whatever. He's not a hypocrite, you know. And it doesn't matter if I don't understand something. I don't have to try and analyze it and pick it apart until I can understand it. I just believe that what God's word says is true. God is not a man that he should lie. And the more I confess something, the more faith I have, the more I can overcome, the more I can understand that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more I confess it, the more I understand it, and the more it becomes my reality, the more it becomes a part of me. And it's by God's grace, you know, the more it's just a snowball effect. That's the only way I know how to describe it. The more faith I have, the more grace I have. The more faith I have, the more grace I have. You know? And it's just God doing it. It's God doing it. And it doesn't take any effort on my part. None. Other than just to believe God. I can't do it. Like David says, You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know? So, yeah, it's His grace, it's power, His Spirit in us, because His word is Spirit. And the more I confess that word, the more it becomes real to me, the more I'm filled with the truth of that word, the more I'm filled with the word, the more I'm filled with the Spirit. And it just, God does it. He does it. He's the one that does it. You know what? there's these verses that I've been meditating on a lot, and it's come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. For by grace I have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory or should boast. It's a gift. Wow. It's a gift. Thank you, Lord. The ultimate gift of your Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the ultimate gift of your life. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's when you confess it in the mornings, when you confess the things that we've been talking about as Jesus inside of you, Jesus is working through you, you are a new creation. And that creation is of Christ. Then you start your day in the right direction. And then all you need to do is just keep reminding yourself through the day. Those confessions that you first started. Christ is the vine and I am the branch, and everything that flows through Him flows through me too. Praise God. Blessed, I confess, and blessed be the Lord who daily loads me with benefits. I possess a life daily loaded with the benefits of the Lord. Lord of God, yeah, we're loaded up with Jesus. I confess I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, John 8:12. Therefore, I possess light upon life's pathway, for I am following Jesus. And to the world, I look like a neon sign walking down the road. Glory to God, because Jesus is permeating himself throughout me with that light of goodness. And we praise you, Father. Glory be to God. I confess, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Therefore, I possess all grace, abounding grace, saving grace, healing grace, baptizing grace, and all sufficient grace. Praise God, I'm full of grace. And that's something we all need to remember, that we have grace. We don't have judgmental attitudes or critical attitudes. We have grace, God's grace. Oh, thank you, Lord, for just deeply penetrating my heart with that one. Praise God. And I confess, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. Therefore, I possess impossibilities becoming realities. For I am linked up with God, my divine birth. Ooh, my gracious. And I confess I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Acts 2:17. Therefore, I possess the spirit I poured upon my life continually. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for filling me up every day to meet the problems of that day. I confess, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression. For that's a good one to remember. Therefore, I possess the assurance that my sins are removed far from me. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory be to God. Romans 10:10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I possess continual guidance, for I confess the Lord shall guide thee continually. Isaiah 58:11. And I possess eternal life, for I confess my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. John 10:27-28. I'm going to stop right there. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for making us confessors of the word. We speak only as an oracle of God through our mouth. Lord, set a watch before our lips and put a clothespin on our tongue, Lord, and keep us from speaking anything contrary to what your word said in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to have a dual confession. We just confess the word and that's only. In Jesus' name. We don't confess that this is what this person is. We're only going to confess what the word of God says he is. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't make any difference what they're doing in the natural. We know what the word of God says. And we praise you for that, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to speak only those things that we have already prayed about. And we're just going to speak the positive confession. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. Anybody got a prayer before we close out here? Everybody receive what we talked about tonight. Amen. Me too. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray everybody that listens to this broadcast tonight, this outreach tonight, Lord, would do the same thing, that they would confess only what the word of God says. Praise God. And believe it. I like that word from the Lord, too, about grace. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything they want to say before we close out? Brandy, are you there?
Barely.
Ooh, that way, hurt me.
It's way past my bedtime. Hours. I got it.
Okay. Let's see what Joe has. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to read Revelation 5:12. That says so much about Jesus. It says, in a loud voice, I was saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power, the wealth, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and the praise. That says so much about Jesus. That's awesome.
Yes, that is awesome. That's a good word to close out the program tonight. Thank you, Lord, for helping us out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brandon. You can close, accept recording also.